time that I discussed to sing the Radichever. It was 2 nights ago, sitting at the Kaisel with a big chevra, a very special chevra, after davening William Kippur. A shiur that's been a highlight of my entire year, so close my eyes, I was envisioning that, brought me back to that, so thank you. It was very special, but we'll get to that in a few moments. First of all, well, the Torah tonight, or the Chizuk tonight, or the Source tonight is again being sponsored anonymously for the Refu Shalema, for the Refu Shalema of Eliezer Rafal Ben Sarasima, father of very close Talmidim who needs Refuos, needs Rachamim, and Mirt Hashem, we're going to hear Bisrus Tovos, but we're davening, and everyone should daven. Everyone should daven, and Mirt Hashem. Shavifuos and Yeshuos, Psoch Shar Chil Yisrael, Bekar of Mamish.
Amen.
It's like a whirlwind to think, like, Mamish, last night I was in Eretz Yisrael. I'm sure all of us in some way felt like they were in Eretz Yisrael, even if you weren't physically in Eretz Yisrael. Everyone is in a very special state of Kedusha, for sure. In my last few days, it felt like a month. It felt like, from the last time we were together here till now, so much has happened, so much has changed. And I had this chus to be, it's today, Thursday, right? It's a Monday afternoon. First, everything has manias, that's kadosh. And I'm gonna share with you, I was thinking, it's important just to share some moments of the trip that I had to Eretz Yisrael, the 2.5 days in Eretz Yisrael, because number one, it's always good to talk about Eretz Yisrael. Especially for those of us that are sitting here in Chutz La'aretz. You say, why? That just brings kinna, exactly. Sometimes kinna is a good thing, there's kinna seifrim. And you have to have the desire, the she'ifus. You can't, none of us could be content that we're here. We have to always be yearning to be in Eretz Yisrael, yearning to live in Eretz Yisrael. And yearning if we have to live here for whatever reasons that we feel is MS, that we should be going to Eretz Yisrael as often as possible. Sometimes I bump into people my age, or they tell me they haven't been in Eretz Yisrael in 10 years, they haven't been in Eretz Yisrael in 15 years, they haven't been in Eretz Yisrael since they learned in Eretz Yisrael. Now, Vad's okay, I understand it's monetarily cost a lot of money, but sometimes those are the same people that have gone on like 16 different vacations to Greek islands during that time. Somehow, when the money is there for where you want it to be there, right? You know, when they check the time on their Rolex and haven't been Eretz Yisrael, it's expensive. Maybe in Yavin. And in life, if you have a ratzon, something's very important to you. You learn how to make it happen. So it's important to have she'ifus to be in Eretz Yisrael. Whatever time of the year, like Boimer, Maven Yavin, whenever it is. So when you hear about Eretz Yisrael, I think it builds that and it reminds us. And so this chus to be, I got into Eretz Yisrael. First is when you go in somewhere special, there's minias often, you know? The Satan's working, Sitra Achra is working. So years ago, I used to get in even just Erev Yom Kippur and leave Matzah Yom Kippur. We spoke about this the shiur before. Because I wanted to miss very little shiur here. That way I would be able to go without missing any shir. To go to Eretz Yisrael for Yom Kippur and not miss any shir. Because I'd leave like the 5 p.m. flight, get in like 11 a.m. Erev Yom Kippur. So I wouldn't miss shir. We're off Erev Yom Kippur, and be back the next morning for shir. Then 1 year, there was like a crazy rainstorm, and I took off very, very late. And in the air, they told us that we might have to go to Jordan. Baruch Hashem, I didn't end up in Jordan. There's no like crazy story here. But once that happened, after that, I always go 1 day early, just in case I'm pushed off, it won't... You know, I'll get there. Because that year, there were people that didn't make it there. They were on different airlines. They didn't make it. They didn't go to Jordan. They just, like, didn't take off. And they realized it wasn't going to be on time. So they stayed in America. People that I knew that would come into Eretz Yisrael that year. So I had this Sunday a flight booked for 5:30. I booked this ticket. I looked, because when I got to the airport and they pulled this on me, I looked at my email to see. I booked this ticket the first week in March, 6 months ago. Had a confirmed seat and everything, fine. I get to the airport, and I get there. I never go too early because everyone makes up they have to be there so early. You know, really, it's even better when you go a little bit later. And go early, you sit in lines forever. You go later, you go right on. Just, but whatever, obviously people have different personalities and different anxieties and whatever it might be. So I usually get there on the later end, but not crazy late. I'm talking, so I try to get there an hour 45 to 2 hours before, something like that range. Never less than an hour and a half. And I've never once had an issue. Never once. In 30 years of flying to Israel, many times a year, you know? I get to the airport an hour and 54 minutes before this flight about. Fine, perfect. I get up to the desk, and they tell me, would you like to be bumped? Because they're overbooked the flight. So I say, no. I'm going out to Israel, and I don't want to lose. Because they tell, I say, well, at first they ask, when are you going to send me? They said 2 a.m. This was 5 there, 2 a.m. Which would basically be, instead of getting in Monday at like 11 a.m., we're going to get in Monday at like 8 p.m., missed my whole Monday. I had a lot of plans. I'm only going as it is for 2 days. I said, not a good idea. We'll offer you a free ticket. I don't want it. They come back to me a few days. Well, sorry, you're getting bumped. I said, what do you mean I'm getting bumped? I have a ticket. I'm not. It's confirmed 6 months ago. Well, they overbooked the flight, and legally somehow they're allowed to do this to you. I don't know why this is normal, and I'm not sure exactly how this works out, but normal, they're allowed to do it. They assume there's always going to be people that will voluntarily take the free tickets or whatever it is, but if there aren't, they could force you off the flight. That's like mutter, and they give you a free ticket or whatever they give you, but like they could just force you. So they, whatever it was. So basically, I got people involved, calling Galal, speaking to the manager there, whatever it is, but I tried all the different ins that I had to no avail, because they already did this basically without telling me. And there was just not a seat to go on. There was nothing anyone could do. It wasn't, you know. But at least they switched it because of the pushing to send me. There was a 9 p.m. flight from Newark. So, and the flight I was supposed to take ended up taking off an hour later. So this ended up being only a 2.5 hour difference. And they sent me in an Uber to Newark. They gave me a nice emergency row seat with the chesnesh, you know, to sleep. Gave me a free ticket. And fine, it's okay, that's the beginning. So there's always menias when you realize. So don't, why am I telling you that? I mean, there's more parts of that story. It was actually, they also gave me lounge access in Newark. Which Baruch Hashem, because I was hungry at that point, because I walk into the lounge, there's like this whole group of chassidim that are on their way. I thought they must be also on the way there. So they're on the way to Poland to go to Karastir for Yom Kippur, you know, to Reb Shailah. But they're sitting within the lounge with a whole suda. I'm talking, you never saw so much food. I thought they're celebrating like a chmese, Sheva Brachos there. But no, it was just, that's what they do. You know, chassidim, they know how to travel. And I walk in, like, you want a pastrami sandwich, you want a corned beef sandwich, you want this. They're throwing food at me, which was awesome. It was delicious. It was amazing. So I got to eat well, sat down in the flight, had all the room in the world, slept the whole flight almost, and was good to go for my trip. So Baruch Hashem, everything is min hashamayim. And now we'll go another time, whatever it is. So I finally get it, but MS is just realizing life, when things are holding you back, it doesn't mean you're not supposed to go, it just means that that's probably kadosh and something's working, so you gotta work hard. Anyways, I get there to Sroll finally at 2:30 Monday afternoon. Shmuel, my son, picks me up with the chevra of his friends. We go straight to Chevron. And we go straight to the Avraham Avinu Mikvah. So go mamish. From Chutzot, you go straight to the Avraham Avinu Mikvah. Mayan Avraham Avinu. The Mayan Avraham Avinu is freezing. Like the cold. If you've ever, Chevra's been but in the Mayan of Avraham. If you've been in the Arizal's Mikvah, it's like heaters compared to the Mayan of Avraham. You know, mamish, right? No. Oh, yeah. Yisrael Uri was with me there. And that was February, that trip? Or November, that trip?
February
trip.
Not that one.
So I have a minog that on Erev Yom Kippur I dip 613 times. I'm not telling you, I'll tell you why, Chevra. No, I'll explain it. This is why I was a cobble upon myself, Erev Yom Kippur. Why? I think it makes sense. I've never seen this anywhere else, but L'maisa, First of all, we have 613 mitzvahs, obviously, and you're trying to metakin every... I feel like there's probably not one area that I do well yet, so I have to metakin every area. And in the mikvah specifically, because we know from that Rizal that the 630 mitzvahs are connected to all the parts of our body, right? The Ramach mitzvahs asay, 248 positive mitzvahs are connected to 248 limbs of our body, and the 365 los asays are connected to gidim, right? So you go in the mikvah to makadish your body. This way you makadish every little part of your body. There's 630 parts of the body. So I said to myself, you know what? I've never done that in the Avivir. I did it in the Arizal's mikvah before. I've done it in Erev Yom Kippur in the Arizal's mikvah. Here, by the time I got to the Avivir mikvah, it was after Plag already. So it's after Plag already. B'dievet, you could already have a Meir. It's Kilo's Erev Yom Kippur already. So I did 613 in the Avram mikvah. It was mamish. Just to go, by the way, if I had to go back on the plane afterwards, it was well worth going just for that. It was something about, I felt like mamish. Incredible. And then we went to Dav Mincha in Bar Zachpel. You know, it's Dav Mincha in Bar Zachpel right before Yom Kippur. Every Tfun Esra, we started Elkein, Elkei Avram, Elkei Tzchuk, Elkei. You know, I'll say something there because some people are going to get upset what I'm about to say, but like, nah, I don't think anyone here, I'm just saying some people. It's gevaldik to go to Kibbutz Tzaddikim. And how many thousands of Yidden, even this year with war, went to Rav Nachman, Rosh Hashanah. And by the way, I was by Rav Nachman, never Rosh Hashanah, but I was by Rav Nachman, it's Kodesh Kedoshim. We're going to learn a piece of Lukutim Aran tonight. Mamish, Rav Nachman was a big tzaddik, and to daven by his kever is huge. We have this chus to go 10 minutes and daven by the kever of the Lubavitcher Rebbe. But it's a pella that like you, people, so many people are moist and nefesh to go to Rav Nachman, and you, those same people, ask them when was the last time they were in Mars Hachpela. Now let me ask you something. If Rav Nachman had to go to a kever to daven, where do you think he would have gone? Where do you think he would have gone? Where did Kalev ben Yefuna go? Where did we learn to daven kibbutz tzaddikim? How do we start a Shmoneh Esrei? Do we say Elokei Nachman? We don't say Elokei Nachman. We don't say Elokei Nachman. We don't say Elokei Rabbi Kiva. This is not a disrespect to them as tzaddikim. I hold the Yisad tzaddikim, Yisad Elam, I learned the Torah as them. But Lamaisa, all of them pale in comparison to Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov. Messiah Gia Messiah L'Messiah Avosai, not the Messiah of Nachman, right? And it's amazing. So you have the opportunity. You could go to Uman for Hashanah. You could go to Davin and Marzach Pela right before Yom Kippur. I'll take that any day. Okay, I know Breslov is going to scream at me and yell at me, and maybe I don't have enough Amunah Rav Nachman. And okay, I have a lot of big pogrom in my life. I'll take that one too. L'Maisa, what is Chus Davin before Yom Kippur by Avraham and Yaakov? It was like mamish incredible. I said Tikkun Kol is there. I think that's also good. It was mom, and there was all these chassidim were dancing there. It was incredible. Then where do we go from there? Where do we go from there? To Kever Rachel. Because there are 2 days, and look where we are in Kever Rachel. You know what it is, the daven by Kever Rachel? Let's remember, famous Medrash in Eicher Rabba, after the first Golus, after the first Korban Beis HaMikdash. We all know it from the song, Mama Rachel, but you know it, the Medrash. All the tzaddikim, Moshe Rabbeinu, they daven for Gula, Hashem turned them all down. Who's he listening to? Rachel Yemenu. So you know what it is, the daven by Rachel Yemenu? Feels by Rachel Yemenu. Mamish Kodesh, Kodesh Kedoshim, Kodesh Kedoshim. You have chairs? Come. And then from there, went out to eat with my son and daughter-in-law. Spend a few minutes with my children. It was very beautiful, and it was already Erev Yom. Then it was already Mamish Erev Yom Kippur after Tzeis. It's of Achila, even though it's Machlok is whether that starts the night before or not. But let's go with those days with Achila. We're all very Machmer. It's a good one, you know. Right? There's no problem. No one's makel with that mitzvah. So we went for a nice dinner in Harvey's. It was gewalt. It was awesome. And then from there, my son dropped me off in the Old City. I got to the Old City around 11 o'clock. I didn't leave the city, Old City, till Matzah Yom Kippur, ready to go back to the airport. So I was in the Old City for mamish. I get there, I go straight to the Kaisel Adav in Meirv. Then I spoke in the Tiv at 12 o'clock. Then we had Slichus. Then went up to the roof to watch. If you saw the images, you saw the pictures of Erev Yom Kippur Slichus. Mamish, 100,000 Yidden to be with them. It was just to see it, to be there live, is life altering. I sent out, I don't know if the Chavis on the Meaningful Minute app, but I can show you after the video. This I don't remember from past years. I've been there many times. But they blew shofar at the end. And you're there with 100,000. They blow shofar. Your mom, it feels like the shofar of Mashiach. Like, you're with 100,000 yid and shofar. It's unbelievable. Like, there are no words. And then 2:30, 3 in the morning, I'm down by the Kaisel. This is already an hour, hour and a half after Slichos are finished, and still thousands of Svaradim saying Slichos and davening. And you know who's davening? With mohawks, with earrings, with tattoos, but like with tears coming down their cheeks. Like I don't daven by Ne'ilah, they're davening Slichos every Yom Kippur. There's a reason why Rabbina says God is a Svaradi. You know, there's something, he said that Yom Kippur night this year, and you've all heard it from him, those who've heard him speak ever, because it's one of his big lines. But because there's a lave there, there's a neshama there, that halavai, we should all have some of, right? You're a Svar, you don't have to say amen. No, you're saying it for us. This was all before Yom Kippur. If I had to leave then, the trip would have been like well worth it if I got on a plane, like for what already. And you know what I spent Erev Yom Kippur for 3 hours in the morning davening and learning. Just looking at Har Habayis on the top of Shuvah Banim in the Muslim quarter, on the top of the yeshiva, looking down, just looking at Har Habayis, Erev Yom Kippur, thinking about the Avodah that we're all going to daven and learn about on Erev Yom Kippur, that we all learned in Tefillah Musaf, the Makom, where we're Kairim Mishtachim, like, I'm looking at it. It was, I'm there the day before. You know what that is? I brought with me to listen, and I brought with me headphones, for just to listen to Seder Avodah there, Erev Yom Kippur. You know what it was to listen to Seder Avodah there, Erev Yom Kippur? It's like an ocean of tears. And this year I listened to one other song. I also listened to the Berditchever with the Zbodidus of Akiva. If you ever haven't heard that, don't know it. We got to listen to it tonight because it's also like it's a tefillah. Those two songs, I listened to both twice and just. Unbelievable. There are no words. Then went to Dav Mincha by the Kaisel of Yom Kippur. Dav with Goldwicht and his sons. It was like a beautiful minion. Made our own lava. Then we had a Sudum of Sekis. We had all the Chevra in the Tiv. We made our own little with the Dearest Chevra, the Sudum of Sekis. To prepare the Sudus of Yom Kippur. And Yom Kippur is davening Made our own lava. To be davening and look up and see the Makom of the Avodah during the Avodah. It's like didn't. Lel Yom Kippur, this list was started this year many years ago. So we all went down. I started this year, I couldn't even speak, I was just crying. It's like you Lel Yom Kippur at the Kaisel. You know, it was the last 2 years I wasn't there, so it's like your sheif just builds. To be sitting with Heilige Talmidim and learning and singing together. On the holiest night of the year, in the holiest place in the world. What are we doing here? A lot of the Kotel Chavra came also, don't worry. All the Chavra, all the H guys, and all the tons of. There are a lot of people at Baruch Hashem that are part of that shir just like just year after year, that is common, part of our Chavra. Like anyone from Chilonim to 70 year old Hasidim. Like it's unbelievable. But they're all one, it's beautiful. Why am I telling you all this? There's so much more. I'm not going to go into every detail. We'll want time to learn. But telling you this because we all have to just, it's every moment was so Kaddish, was so special. That's Eretz Yisrael. Why? Why is each place? It's all Eretz Yisrael. It's all, you know what it is? And this is what I was thinking about more than anything and where we want to go with this tonight. And you could all relate to this. You all know exactly what I'm talking about. Just being there, whether it's Kaisel, Marzach Pela, Kevin Rachel, just walking the streets of Meir Sharm. There's a Simchas Achayim that is on a different level. Just a different level. So how can we have that always? How could I have that even if I'm not Zohar to be in Eretz Yisrael? Yeah, I spoke about this so we could have the Shivas to be there. And we should always have the Shivas to be there. But if we can't be there for whatever reason, if we're supposed to be here and we have to believe where we are. And we believe we're supposed to be here. Otherwise, if you don't believe you're supposed to be here, get on a plane. I don't know what you're doing here. But if you believe you're supposed to be here for the time being, so how could I have that simcha that I have when I am in Eretz Yisrael? When I am sitting by the Kaisel? How could I have that here always? Because that's what I felt for 2.5 days straight, just simcha. For 2.5 days straight, all I felt was simcha. There was no daigas, it was only simcha. Every moment. Different levels of simcha, but simcha. Like crazy simcha. So that's how we have to talk about tonight. That's what we have to talk about tonight, especially as we prepare for Zman Simchas. Because that's what Sukkot is. Sukkot is the Yantav of Simcha. So maybe it's one and the same. Whatever Simcha we get when we're in Eretz Yisrael, somehow it must be the same Yisod of the Simcha of Sukkot. True Simcha, real Simcha. Not if I'm a Yankee fan, the judge hit 62 home runs. Shkoyach. That's like a momentary pleasure. No one's going to feel pneumistic about that. Let's be real. You know, in our sukkah, shvizin come. The tefillahs to invite the shvizin. Obviously, a very deep Kabbalistic idea, but it's something we all know. Like even from the most modern to the most yeshivish to the most chassidish to the most litvish, every kindergarten kid comes home with some sort of project with the shvizin. It's like this is very makubal that they really are coming to our sukkahs. Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Yosef, and Tzadik, like Moshe, Aaron, big people. Right? David HaMelech. Do you ever think about it? Why do they come on Sukkot and not any other holiday? Why aren't there a Shpizin on Pesach? Where are the Shpizin of Pesach? Where are the Shpizin of Shavuos? I say, but Shavuos is only 1 or 2 days. Okay, Shkoyach. So let at least Avram Yisrael come, or Avram come, or they could all come on one day. Who said they all have to come separate days? And why is it suddenly? You ever think about it? Why suddenly Sukkot we have a Shpizin? So some would say, if they knew what was in my house, they can't come in my house. At least in the Sukkah, my Sukkah is Kaddosh. No. If that's the time, your house should be Kaddosh. Shouldn't be embarrassed about bringing them into your house. I remember, I'll never forget, in my old house, I was having my Rebbe, Reb Lachman Shalita, come to give a shir. And he called me up before, he was coming to shir, he says, Ari, is it okay? He was tired, he just got in from a stroll, whatever it was. He's like, if I come a little bit early and lay down for a little bit before. I said, of course, please. So my old house, I didn't have any guest rooms. I had 3 bedrooms upstairs, which were my daughter's room, my room, and then in the basement we had a bedroom which was Shmuel's room. So the only place that made sense, and that's where guests, if we had a guest, Shmuel would sleep with one of us, and that was the guest room in the basement. So I said, I'll go in the basement. So I walk in just to see if the bed's made, like to make sure, and I see like he has this like massive Mari Stoudemire poster up, you know, like it was when Mari was on the Knicks years ago. And what?
Yo Shafa,
right? Whatever. But he wasn't that yet. Anyways, and he had like some massive other like, and I'm like, oh my gosh, this is such busha. You know, he's gonna come and see this is my Bukhar. It's like, these are his idols over here. In the corner, there's like Rav Pam because he's named after a palm. But like, you know, like in the corner, like, and I'm thinking, should I take them down? What am I gonna do? It's such embarrassing. In that, I remember I said, you know what? I'm Rav Lachman's very real. I'm like, I gotta be real. You know, it is what it is, and I'm good. I can handle it. Ended up, he came later and didn't want to lie down. So, Baruch Hashem, I'm still a Talmud. It's good. He still talks to me. Baruch Hashem. But without thinking about it, would we be comfortable if Avraham and Yaakov came to visit in our homes? In our sukkah, everyone's sukkah is kaddosh, right? Everyone's sukkah is beautiful. Nothing, no problem. Maybe that's the answer. But the answer is actually found, I believe, perhaps we could say based on a Zohar. I'm going to read you the Zohar. Zohar says something beautiful. The Zohar seemingly is the source. So we know there's an idea brought down from Baal Shem, I believe, is maybe from the Arizal, that up to 10 generations are present at a Chasana, going back. But the Zohar says this explicitly. He says as follows. Ba'afo gaf da abba v'ima is parashu me ha'ama. Even if a father and mother are already left this world. Imagine a person has that they lost, their parents are no longer in this world. Chedva b'chol shutfusa have. When you have a simcha, chedva, simcha, right? When you have a simcha, they're mishtatev, they come and join. B'shatad varna shatev l'kutchibruchu l'chedva delay. At a time when a person joins together with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and his Simcha, meaning HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to come to our Simcha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to be present. We make a chasa, we make a bar mitzvah, we make a bris milah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes. HaKadosh Baruch Hu asi leginsa de Eden. HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes into Gan Eden. Va'aker mitaban la'avua v'imei de'inin shutvin lahu chedva. And he pulls out, he uproots the father and the mother to be a shutuf. V'kulu zimne taman. Along with all that are invited there, uvnei nashalo yadon, and meaning they're around, but you just don't see them. People don't realize, don't know that they're there. Specifically, b'chedva, by a time of simcha, by a time of simcha. So it could be that pshat. The ushpizin are our avos. The Ushpizin are where we come from. We're the children of the Ushpizin. Which Yontav is Yontav Simcha? But every Yontav has some element of Simcha to it. But what's Zvan Simcha Seinu? Sukkos. So Zohar says, when we have a Simcha, when we're making a Simcha, the Avos and the Imos come. They come. So when are the Ushpizin going to come? Specifically to the Sukkah. Because Sukkos is synonymous with Simcha. Sukkos is Simcha. V'samachta b'chagecha. And the entire time, you know, the pasuk in Emor about Sukkos calls it Shivas Yamim. Right? The pasuk says in Emor, v'chagosim ozo chag l'shem Shivas Yamim. The lesson, not Shiva Yamim, Shivas Yamim. Rashi in Pashas Bo by Choshech, he says, when you ever see Shivas or Shloshes, it's one unit. Not just 7 days, seven separate days. It's one unit of 7 days. One unit, Shloshes Yom is one unit of 3 days. What does he mean? Meaning everything about those days is one and the same. It's like a collective three that becomes one, a collective seven that becomes one. This is what Rashi in Parshas Bo tells us. Shivas Yomim Masukis is one big v'samachta b'chagecha. One big zman of simcha, zman simcha seinu. It's one unit of simcha. That's pristama why it is, the Rambam. The Rambam in Hilchos Sukkah, Hilchos Lulav, he talks about this. Even though every yontif there's a mitzvah to have simcha, this is in Parak Ches Allah Yudbeis. Bechag haSukkos is a b'migdash yom simcha yisera. The simcha of Sukkos is above and beyond all the other yom tovim. He goes on and talks about simchas b'shueva and everything that went on there, the beautiful singing and dancing. And then the last halacha in Perches Tazvav, he says, "Asimcha yishiyis machadim b'siyas hamitzvah u'ba'avas akel shetivem avogda gedolhi." He's talking, and then he seems to be talking general mitzvahs, but it's specifically here that he talks about it, because this is where the ikker simcha is, the ikker yantav of simcha is, and it's avoyda gedola. It's his lashon, avoyda gedola. Simcha of Sukkos. You know what happens when you have simcha? It leads to like all other atzlacha. It's incredible. Leads to all other atzlacha. Gemara Rosh Hashanah says, "B'sukkos your nidoinim al mayim." Mayim is parnasa. Mayim represents chef. Mayim, right? Gashmias, geshem. Why? Because when you're b'simcha, it leads to having parnasa. It leads to having everything. I saw from the Rabbi Cheskel Mekuzmir, he says such an incredible idea. In Parshas, what do we have? I didn't bring Chomish Vayechi. Someone go here. Hello, Moshe Eliezer. Go bring any Vayechi, sorry. He's talking about Zvulun. You have to listen to this Lashon and see this Rashi in Parshas Vayechi. So what does he say? There's a lashon. I don't want to say about peh. First of all, you're not supposed to say Torah Shviksav about peh. Anyways, so you got to read it from the chumash. Second of all, it's not nice. We asked Elul Moshe Eliezer to get the chumash. So, thank you. He says as follows. Rashi says here. By Zvulun. Right, we have all the brachos in Vayechi that Moshe Rabbeinu is giving to Klal Yisrael. Zvul and Lechof Yami Mishko. And so Rashi here says, he quotes from Parshas Vezois HaBracha. And Parshas Vezois HaBracha says, Sameach Zvulim B'tzeisecha. Zvulim should be happy B'tzeisecha when it goes out. And what's that talking about? Zvulim Yotri Paprakmatya. Zvulim goes out in business and is successful in business. He has successful in his parnasa. So Rav Yitzchak Kuzmir says, what's Rashi talking about? It said that Zvulim is B'simcha. When he goes out, how do you know, therefore he's successful in parnasa? So he says, yeah, when you have simcha, you're successful in all areas. When you have simcha itself, is the school to have success in business, when you're besimcha. Because clearly simcha comes from a place of bitachon. But let's understand that deeper. Because every single one of us, more than anything in this world, we want simcha. More than anything in this world, we want simcha. If you stop and think about it for a moment, everything we want is only because we believe that's going to lead towards simcha. We want health because we believe that's going to lead towards simcha. We want parnasa because that will lead towards simcha. Now we're understanding maybe it's the opposite. Maybe if I had simcha, I'd have parnasa. But if we really stop and thought about it, everything we want is for simcha, say, so how do I really have simcha? Because if I think 10 different things are going to lead to simcha, clearly they don't. Because I need all of them. And then there are more things. So what's the root of simcha? What's the shores of simcha? What's the simcha that it is that I had the schus to have for the last few days in Eretz Yisrael? What's the simcha that we want to have that when we sit in our sukkahs, man simcha seinu? Where is it going to come from? So the Peladik Gemara about Hillel, about the simchas b'sheva. Maybe many of you have learned this Gemara. On the surface, it's very hard to understand. And sukkah daf nun gimel. Tanya, amr alav al Hillel azakin. Kayasameach b'simchas b'es ha-shveva. Amr. Okay. Hillel Azakein. The Gemara tells us was full of anivas, full of humility. In the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, he would say, Im ani kan, hakol kan. If I'm here, everybody's here. Vim ani kan, if I'm not here, mikan, who is here? Hillel Azakein, who we know is an ish of anivas, Im ani kan, hakol kan. What does that mean? Imanikan akolkan sounds very gaivedic. So as the Shlach Kaddish says, and he's saying this by Simchas B'Sheva, which Kol Mishena Ra Simchas B'Sheva B'Yamav doesn't even know what Simcha is, right? So that Ani is not talking about himself, Chas V'Shalom, he's full of Anivas. It's who's the only Ani in the world? Anoichi Hashem Elokecha. It's the Eibishter, it's the Shechina. What he's saying is follows. You could be at Simchas B'Sheva and you're jumping and dancing, but it's holelos. It's just, it's the same as if there's somebody jumping on a Matzah Shabbos Kodesh at some party in some house. Im ani kan, if it's Rabbeinu Shalom Dik, if it's Mekushet Hashem, Hakol kan, then everything is here. Then it's true Simcha. And what Hillel HaZaken was teaching is the source of the Simcha Beis HaShoeva and the source of all Simcha. The source of it all is having the Rabbeinu Shalom by your side. Living with the Rabbeinu Shalom every moment. Knowing the Rabbeinu Shalom runs the world. Knowing the Rabbeinu Shalom is with you every moment. Knowing that whatever's happening to you is Rabbeinu Shalom. Knowing what's going to happen is Rabbeinu Shalom. And He has a plan. And believing kol ma'adav rachman al etav of it. Everything that Hashem does is for good. I might not see it in the moment. We have to have bigger eyes. And Hashem made it in a way that Eretz Yisrael, the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael, the Makomas Kedoshim, it's easier to see that. And it's easier to feel that. And therefore, we're besimcha. We're the same person. I was the same Aryeh Cohen physically as I was when I stood by the Kaisel Leil Yom Kippur. And I'm the same Aryeh Cohen that now, physically, that I'm here in Cedarhurst as was standing in Mar Zachpelah Monday afternoon. Or in Avram Vino Mikvah. I'm the same physical person. And the same moach, the same lave, the same neshama. But I feel different there. What is why? Why? It's a place. It's a place where their bonishom is more of a kusher, where the shechina is more of a kusher. So I feel the shechina there more. I feel their bonishom there more. It's even more conducive. It's easier to. So because of that, I'm going to be more besimcha. I'm more at peace with myself. My life, whatever's going on in my life is the same. Meaning, whatever, nisyonos, and I have all the challenges in the world. But I'm with Hashem. And if I'm with Hashem, suddenly it's like, it's just all good. It's just all good. Leil Yom Kippur, I'm at the Kaisel. As I said, and I gave this shiur. It was so special. And after the shiur, some of the chevra had been at that shiur. So you know what I'm talking about. A little bit, but it's gotten each year more and more special, though the last year didn't have it. So. And after the shiur, so Hashem, this was just to give a hug and a kiss and give a bracha to each of the Talmidim. And then I stay around if anyone wants to talk for a few minutes. I'm only there that night. I'm leaving. And then late at night when everyone's gone, I get to daven a little myself at the Kaisel because the rest of the day you're in with the yeshiva davening. It's a long night, but a beautiful, incredible night. So this year, a young man came over to me who was at the shiur, not a DRS Talmud. And he came over to me and he asked me, is it okay that he could also have a few minutes he wanted to talk? And I said, of course, I'm here for you, of course. But there was already like a line. I said, you're going to have to, I'm sorry, you're going to have to wait after all these guys all wanted to already. He says, no, I'll wait. And he waited till about 1 o'clock in the morning. I finished speaking. We started about 9:45, sang for maybe 10 minutes. I spoke for maybe 45 minutes. So it was all over officially by like probably like 10:40. I don't know, face nisher out. But then give him, you know, meeting with each guy for just a moment and give him a brach. And then the guys who wanted to sit and talk for a few minutes, it was literally until about 1 o'clock in the morning I finally was able to talk to this guy. He wanted to wait until 1 in the morning. I sit down with him and ask him his name and talking for a few moments. And he said to me, Rebbe, I was at davening tonight. I don't want to give any details. It doesn't matter what yeshiva was. He was in one of the yeshivas. There were guys from... I davened with the tib, but there were guys from the tib. There were guys from H. There were guys from Akotel. There were guys... Many random people there, so it doesn't... Again, it's not a guy I ever met before, so it's probably not anyone here knows. I don't know. But... He tells me that he was at the davening, and it was just too hard for him to daven. He's too upset at God. Right now he hates God. And he can't daven. And he wants to know what he could do, because he wants to daven. But he wanted to daven. It's an amazing thing. He hates God, he's upset about it, but he wants to daven. He said, why? What's going on? Why do you hate God? What's wrong? So first of all, my grandfather has stage 4 cancer. My grandfather has stage 4 cancer. And I love him and I'm close with him and it's so hard. And also, my mother has stage 4 cancer. stage 4 cancer without Nisim Maven Yovens. Not anything good. This is a young boy, he's Shana Aleph age, right? He's 18 years old. So he's extremely upset at God. And he wanted to know what to do. Why would God do this to him? He said a lot of harsh things. And I'm sitting there. I met this guy for the first time tonight. This was my conversation. I'm sitting at the Kaisel Leil Yom Kippur. Gonna do. I could cry with him for a little bit. And he's asking me, like, you know, why is this happening? Why did God do this to him? Why did God do this to his mother? And his mother, and it kills him that his mother, like, she's so weak and she can't even do anything for them. And it's opening up about how hard it is. I'll tell you what I said. I don't know. Baruch Hu brought this to me, Baruch Hashem, because I didn't know what to say. I honestly, at first, I didn't know what to say. I gave him a big hug, a kiss. I said, I'm here for you. I love you. He said, please get my number from one of the DRS guys. Call me. I was in touch with him today. We'll give the chavers the names of his grandfather and his mother after. We could do that. Now, so if anyone's listening to Shir, you can take down the grandfather's Yisrael ben Rachaleah, the mother's Miriam Chai Esther Basara. Shavar Fus and Yeshuas. So what I said to him was, I said, we're going in the wrong direction. I can't explain to you, and I don't think your goal is to try to understand why God is doing this to your mother, or why God's doing this to your grandfather, because I have no answers for that, and I doubt anyone's going to be able to give you an answer for that. I think the avodah has to be to just work on building emunah. Work on building a true belief in Hashem. A true belief in Hashem runs the world. A true belief in Hashem watching over us. A true belief that Hashem is by your side. And you know what's going to happen? You're still going to be angry that this is going on. And you're still going to be upset that it's going on. And you should be. You have no reason not to be. But if you're able to develop that, you'll see. You'll also be able to somehow, even though it makes no sense, accept it and deal with it in a whole different light. And you'll see, you'll be able to daven, and you'll be able to connect to Hashem, and you'll be able to live life when you have that emunah. Because that's what Hillel is saying. Im ani kan, hakol kan. If ani, Hashem is there, everything is there. Meaning, if you really do have belief in Hashem that's so deep and so real, and you feel He's by your side, you can handle everything and still be okay. And it doesn't mean you won't cry and be upset at Him about certain things. But you could also still daven, and still live, and still hakol kan. It's the key to all simcha. Somehow, Baruch Hashem, he was makabel that. And he said he's going to try, and he's going to go on that journey. And I spoke to one of the rebbeim in his yeshiva, Matzei Yom Kippur. I made sure to find one of the rebbeim in his yeshiva to talk about it, and to be mechazik then with this boy. Meretz Hashem. Life isn't easy. Life is hard. Life. We don't understand the ways of God. We don't understand things that make no sense, that are horrible in our eyes. But if we could build a emunah, if we could build true, deep, deep, deep emunah, I could deal with anything. And I could be okay, and I could always be besimcha. Simultaneously when I might be in avelus. Because simcha doesn't just mean I'm dancing and jumping. It's a certain feeling of just content, being just, hakol kan, I'm here, I'm good. Because I gave it over to Hashem. Hashem runs the world, and I know it's okay. You know what the problem is? Problem is, you say, Rabbi, that's beautiful. Intellectually, I get that, and I know you're right. I know it's true. If I have that emunah, and I agree with you, and Eretz Yisrael, I have it, and then suddenly I come here and I don't have it. I don't feel the presence of Hashem in my life in that same way. And I don't live it in the same way. So the answer is, we got to open up our eyes wider. I think he was the last guy I spoke to at the Kaisel that night. There was one other guy that was waiting, and then when I went over to him, another guy that I didn't know, like that. That's how it just works, because they're the last guys that come over, you know. And he said, no, it's late, it's okay, he'll be in touch with me another time. I spoke for like two minutes, we didn't even sit down, sweet boy. So then, I took a few minutes to daven, and I said, you know, it's Lel Yom Kippur. I'm at the Kaisel. After I davened for my family, davened for all of you, davened for all my talmidim, davened. Wanted to sit and learn a little bit. And I decided I wanted to learn a piece from Likutei Maran. Wanted to learn a piece from Rav Nachman. The new tshuva, what I said before. Yeah. So I said, what piece? What am I going to learn? I just opened up. I said, I'll open up, and what Rav Nachman wants me to learn, I'll learn. Okay. That's why I learned how to do it. So I opened up Rav Nach. I went to get a Likutei Maran. Chaver knows where the Likutei Marans are by the Kaisel. When you go inside, so you have the inside, and then you have the wall of Sedarim on the left. So then there's like this opening with like a cave where the Svarim are in there. So right where you walk in, on the left, bottom, Likud de Maran's over there in Sifrei Nachman. If whoever wants to learn there, just to know. There's Shastim there, there's a Hebrew art school Shast there, there's Mesifta there, it's good. It's good makom to know about. But there's an English art school also, right, yeah, there's English art school also there. Yeah. Okay. So let's just learn the piece that I opened up to, which was, it was incredible to open up to after this, after HaKadosh Baruch Hu put those words and that thought in my mind for this young man. Piece, Torah Reish Nun Dalet. And I'll be honest, when I learned today, I didn't remember ever seeing this piece before. But when today I went to open it up in my Likud Maran here to just to prepare it to be able to tell it over in Shir, I had it circled. It shows you where my memory is of Torah. I have a lot to work on. But anyways, because not too many people, the pieces, I've underlined that this, but circled, I don't have too many pieces circled. Some stars. I don't know if I have another piece circled. I don't know. Anyways. Listen, I should have photocopied it, guys, but because this piece, I saw this piece, I haven't stopped thinking about this piece. Just to come together to learn this piece, I think it was worth everything. Listen to this Torah from Rav Nachman. Our eyes are lofty, high things. We've spoken about it before, our neshama is connected to our eyes, and that's why Shemir Sanayim is so important. And listen to what he says about our eyes. Our eyes, listen to the line from Rav Nachman. Our eyes are always seeing dvarim gedolim v'noraim, great and awesome things. And you're like, what do you mean, Rabbi? I didn't see those today. Wait a minute, it's all I see them. I didn't see them today. Sunday afternoon, I saw football games. I didn't see dvarim gedolim v'noraim. Late at night, I saw things on my phone that I shouldn't have been seeing. I didn't see Dvaram Gadol Ben Aram. Rav Nachman says, "Him Ram Tamid." Listen to the lashon, Tamid Dvaram Gadol Ben Aram. Vim Haya Adam Zoyche Leinayim Ksheirim. If you're Zoyche to kosher eyes, Haya Yodeya Dvaram Gadolim. Rak Mimasha Ein of Rose, Kiim Rose Tamid. Ach Sheein Yodeya Maroa. At least you could know you're seeing big things even if you don't exactly see what you're seeing. That's what he says. Meaning you could, even if you don't know you saw it, if you have good eyes, you feel it. Right? Your yodeya, he says, you hear the lashon, yodeya dvar gdolim, you know those big things, even though, because you're seeing them always, even if you didn't know you saw them. It leaves an impression. The dvar gdolim in aram. Kamala Mashal, it gives a mashal to explain it. It's such a beautiful mashal here to explain it. Kishamavirim Davril Fnei Adam Bavaro Bimihiris Gadol. If someone passes something in front of your face, in front of your eyes, very, very quickly. So imagine, here, this piece of paper right here. These are my notes from Shir, right? Here, Ariel's right up here. I go like this. Can you tell me what you saw? Can you read to me? No? Right? You put, right? Here, you slowly pass right in front of your eyes. You're looking? Good. So, Lloyd, you pass something very quickly in front of your eyes. The person doesn't know what he saw. You don't know. It just went swift. You don't know what you saw. But you, at the time that it passed in front of your eyes, you definitely saw it. You saw it. Your eyes saw it. You don't know what you saw because it went too quickly, right? It didn't register. You don't know what you saw. Even though you saw it completely, you saw whatever passed from your eyes completely. Because it went so quickly, you didn't have the time to register and to know what you saw. You saw it, but you don't know what you saw. To know what you saw takes das. In other words, to register and leave an impression on what we do see, it needs to be a combination of physical re'iyah and mental das. In general, physically, that takes time. It takes time for the das to connect to the re'iyah. So therefore, the same paper that if I go swiftly in front of your face, you have no idea what you saw. If I left it there for a moment, you could read every word. But it's the same physical sight. It just needs time for das to work. Shiyashik sas a davar nira lifnei ayna. B'kdesh yaveh b'yoshik koach haruos la'das as a davar nira. So you need time for the ri'iya to connect to the das. K'desh yeda ba'das mara'a. So your das could know what you saw. U'machmas ha'me'iris lo ra'a davar rak b'koach haruos. Because we're so quick, you only physically saw. Avalo yizman lo'hushin a davar la'das. You didn't have time for it to register into your das. V'alkein ein yodei ma'ra'a, therefore you don't know what you saw. V'cheina adam ra'a bein av tamid, therefore he says, so too, a person always sees dvarm g'daylim. We see big things. With you put in parentheses, maros v'chazionos, meaning images of the Rabbanu Shalom, basically. We're always seeing big things. Achshu k'mosh ma'avirin l'fana ba'avar ba'alma miris g'dal, but it's like it goes very quickly. Alkein ein yodei ma'ra'a, therefore you don't know what you saw. Hear these words of Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman is saying, we're all, you know what it is? And it makes so much sense. I'll tell you now why. Well, you know what it is? The Eibishter fills the entire world, right? Malei kol aretz kvodo. The Eibishter's right here in this room right now. We believe that? You know it? Yeah? He's right here right now. With Ribbono Shel'olam's only up on the throne in Shemayim. That's an imagery that's important for us to have. But he's everywhere at every moment. There's a chilikal coming on Amish inside every one of us. And neshama, the Ribbono Shel'olam's everywhere at every moment, right? So we could see that. Our eyes are seeing that. Dvarim gedolim v'naran. But you need das. You need, what is das? What is our das? Das is Torah. Das is a connection that connection can synthesize with the physical sight to leave an impression. So don't say I can't see God in America. My einayim have the ability to see dvarim gedolim v'naran. I just need the das. I need to be tuned correctly. That's through learning Torah. That's through building that das. I suddenly can see, you know, people that every day have stories of like nisim gluyim, and some people like have never had a story like that in their lives. Right? Some people could write full books and books and books of you know, God said hello, as they say, type stories. And some people don't, like, if you ask them, can't even think of one of them in their entire lives. Those people are both mere mortal human beings who are living the same lives. One of them's eyes are open to the Dvarim Gedolim V'Naran, and one of them's das is not connected to the Dvarim Gedolim V'Naran. Hashem is by our side every moment. And that's the key to Simcha. That's the key to Simcha. When I know that, I'm b'Simcha. And that's why I always so b'Simcha in Eretz Yisrael. There, our eyes are wide open. Here in America, we need to open them a little bit wider. But we can. We have to believe that. Happened to be, by the way, when I was sitting at the Kaisel, and I learned through this piece, and I was so blown away, because it was mamish, that was what I tried to explain to this young man, who I hope is makabel l'chizik, just to build that das, so that he could see, and therefore be able to deal with the difficulty, the real difficulty that he has in his life, which is real, which I don't understand why. Acher Mei Vesrim will see the bigger picture and understand why. Came to me, if you take the gematria of das plus einayim, because that's, you need the synthesis of einayim and das, with the eight letters. Das plus einayim with the eight letters, 662, exactly gematria, dvarim gedolim v'nayraim. This is my time of Yom Kippur at the Kaisel when I learned this piece. Das plus einayim is dvarim gedolim v'nayraim. That's what we can be zoiche to. We can be zoiche to that, and that's the simcha of Sukkot. You know, and now we understand it so beautifully. You know why that? Why is that Sukkot specifically? Okay, shkoyach. Now we understand Sukkot. We shared tonight Torah to explain how incredible the simcha of Sukkot is. How incredible it is to be b'simcha. How we could build that simcha. What's that all have to do with Sukkot? Well, when does Sukkot come? Right after Yom Kippur. And if there's one time that all of our eyes are wide open and we feel Hashem in our life more than any other Zman in the year, it's definitely Yom Kippur. Definitely Yom Kippur. It's definitely that time when Ki B'Yom Hazeh Yichapeh Lechem Mitaras Lechem Mikol Mechatzos Heichem, when Hashem is by our side and is right there, Melech Basada, in the deepest of ways, ripping away all of the that we need taken away and giving us a new life, is Chachos, and we feel it and we know it. So therefore, feel that simcha of the Dvarim Gedolim V'Naran that we all just saw. Zman simcha seinu. Zman simcha seinu. And it could lead to all that slach in the world. You know what? Slach could lead to. I read a story, man. It's crazy. Peladic story. Of Baruch of Mezvish. Baruch of Mezvish, they had a big magefa in his town. People were dying constantly. It was terrible. He was davening in no avail. Rav Hershula of Astropoli came to visit him, and he's complaining to him, we have this magefa, people dying, what should I do? So Rav Hershula looked at him. He says, okay, magefa's gone. The magefa's gone. He like said a little tefillah or something, magefa's gone. He's like, wow, awesome. Kayacha bracha, Rav Hershula, whatever it was. Rav Baruch goes to the window, looks from his window, he's able to see the Batik Forest, the cemetery. And he sees people by the graves. He says, no, people are still dying. People are still dying. My gave is still going on. What are you telling me? I still see it. I see they're going to the Kvarim. People are walking to the Kvarim. He says, nah. They're... So Rav Hershula looks at Rav Baruch. And he says, they're going to the graves to pull them out. Because the Magefa ended, there's some Tchias Mason going on also. They're pulling them out of the graves. And he said it in a way like it was a little bit jest. He said it in a way clearly he didn't mean it seriously. It caused Rav Baruch to laugh a little bit. It was the first time he laughed in a while because he was so bitzaris with everything going on in the town. And from there, the magefa stopped. Kach is the maisa. Kach is the maisa. Chaim Yosef Biderman, Melech Biderman's brother, brings this down and says, a lot of Torah saw from him, Sefer Chiba Savoda. That's what simcha, but it make. By the way, the preferish pasuk in Parshas Kisavo, all the klalos happen. Tachas Hashalovat, Hashem Lachecha b'simcha. Therefore, simcha leads to all the bracha in the world. It's pashut. And where does that simcha come from? The simcha comes from feeling Hashem by our side every moment, opening up our eyes to the Dvarim Gedolim v'Naran, and knowing it. And you know how far the simcha goes. Not just for now. It's not just for Sukkot. Listen to what the Sfasem says. Tafresh Mem Dalid. He says, talking about the Simcha of Teshuva, Shema Eretz Yisrael Shlaim Nimshach Simcha L'chol Ha'olam. And that makes sense. I said, I felt it there. It's from there is the root of Simcha for the whole world. Yemei HaChag, the days of Sukkot, in Zman, Nost in Simcha L'chol Hashana. The whole year of Simcha comes from Sukkot. Remember, they're right, the three ideas, Olam, Shana and Nefesh. So the world, Olam, comes from Eretz Yisrael. Zman is from Sukkot. Nefesh, what about person? Kol HaSimchos Nomim from Bnei Yisrael. Bnei Yisrael knows them Simcha L'chol HaBruim. And he says, when you have Simchas B'Sheva, what do you have? You have the synthesis of all Simcha. You have the Makom, you have Eretz Yisrael, you have Bnei Yisrael celebrating, and it's on Sukkot. So that's why Simchas B'Sheva is so much Simcha. But what is Vasem is telling us? Kedushas Levi says this in Parshas Bo also, really. All the Simcha of the whole year is coming from Sukkot. Because now is when we're so close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We feel Him in our lives. Let's open up our eyes. Let's open up our eyes and feel Him so much more. Chavina, today, earlier today, I don't remember who it was, somebody's status. I saw that a picture, they went to Daven by the oil. And they had a picture just of the oil. They had a picture of the two kvarim of Menachem Mendel, of Yosef Yitzchak. And under in the Chvesnish, his caption for the picture on the status was my happy place. My happy place with a picture of the oil. And I stopped and I thought to myself, imagine somebody from the Umas Oilam sees such a thing. They think you're out of your mind. Out of your mind. It's a cemetery of dead people. And this is my happy place? My happy place. Like, really? Picture of a gorgeous beach, sunset, top of mountains in Colorado if you're a skier. You know, I don't know, if you're a big Yankee fan at Yankee Stadium, Madison Square Garden for Chvesnish, or maybe a Ranger fan, you know, my happy place. Maybe if you're, you know, Chvesnish, you could say Dome was my happy place. I don't know, but like, my happy place is a cemetery? Dead people? My happy place? Teretz says, we all get it. Because that's a Makom Kadosh. And a Makom Kadosh, where just like Eretz Yisrael, because it has Pechinas Eretz Yisrael, It's like you're in Marta Achpelah, Medrash says, when you're by any Kever Tzadik. So you feel closer to Hashem. You feel it. Your eyes are a little bit more open. So that's my happy place. Yeah, we feel it when we go to Royal. It's my happy place. Eretz Yisrael is my happy place. Marta Achpelah is my happy place. Top of Shuvubana is my happy place. I don't need to go to Chvesnish, some Greek island or Italy or wherever it might be for my happy place. Those are nice pleasures. I enjoy those as well. Don't get me wrong. I'm not going to... I said this Lel Yom Kippur the Kaisel. If someone offered me a choice, you had to have a choice, one of the two. I couldn't have both. Again, I'd love those vacations also. I enjoy them. But either I'll all expense paid tremendous vacation to Italy, or you could be Eretz Yisrael Yom Kippur. It's a no-brainer. It's not even like I wouldn't even think about it for a second. In order to be in Eretz Yisrael Yom Kippur, the simcha that I'm able to have, it's my happy place. But why is it my happy place? Because I feel the Rabbanu Shalom in my life. I feel him by my side, and that's where that I'm besimcha. And that's Zman Simcha Zeinu. And that's a simcha we could have always, Be'ez Hashem, Baruch Hu, Shvizoyche, each and every one of us. To the biggest Zman Simcha Zeinu. It should be Zman Simcha Zeinu of Sukkot on the highest of levels. We have to open up our eyes to the Dvarim Gadol V'Naran that we're always seeing. And it's a simcha we'll carry into the year for simcha for each and every one of us, of all Klal Yisrael, Be'ez Hashem, Baruch Hu.